whimsical note. I was thinking of driving in today. I would love to be in cathedral churches all over the place with bishops and archbishops preaching what they do with this text from Mark. It would be interesting to hear. Because this is absolutely central to Jesus' self-understanding, his business of being the servant of all. Okay, we can go to the, again, as we need to, over and over again, go to the Second Vatican Council to see the implications of this. John the 23rd called the council to get the church up to date. Huh? Like Cardinal Martini said, we're not just 200 years out of date, we're more than a few centuries out of date. We've taken on the coloration of not only the era of Constantine, but the imperial courts of Europe. And this is, you know, even in just looking at that one aspect of the council, bring it up to date. Okay, everybody, I think, in the planet today, even the Arab Spring and all this other stuff, is aware that democracy is the fairest form of governance today. And that's important because if you go to the other direction that the council looked at, namely the ressourcement, going back to the origin, going back to the sources, going back to the earliest traditions of the church, going back to the scriptures above all, you discover very quickly a drastically different image of the church and how it was built and how it runs than it is today. I mean, that's a simple fact. And historical evidence of that is overwhelming. People used to elect their own bishops by acclamation. Priests were taken from a given community whom the people of that community thought would be worthy to do. This whole top-downery, which is so characteristic of the church today, is absolutely alien to the earliest days of the church. And that's why I said I would really like to hear the bosses in the church, who certainly don't look like servants to me and certainly don't behave like servants as far as I can see, see what they would do with this text. But Jesus was absolutely serious about this way. He said this is the way we human beings are supposed to relate to each other. So it's not just the bosses, but all of us are supposed to be, as we see over and over echoed in the writings of Paul. All of us are supposed to see us, as Paul says in a kind of shocking phrase, consider everybody else better than yourself. Wow. That's ferocious. So we need to, I think it seems to me, we need, if we're going to take this stuff seriously at all, we need to make those comparisons with the way things are right now and the way they were originally and what we're called to be, to bring the church up today, to be the servants of each other. Everybody, to be the servants of each other. I mean, the classic image of this, of course, is from the Gospel of John, where we have Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. That's not kind of some theatrical gesture, you know. That's literally the case. That's what's supposed to be going on. That's supposed to be what's supposed to be going on in the church today. There's a corny old joke that I used years and years ago, and with you guys, you probably forgot. Somebody said, well, the Pope is the servant of the servants of God, and the archbishops are the servants of the servants of the servant of God, but the bishops are the servants of the servant. Well, you see where this is going. And the lay people are people who are plagued with servant problems, which is just exactly the case, you know. I've known all kinds of bishops in my life, and none of them None of them have come across to me as more than autocrats, totally secure in their own power to determine the lives of other people. So this is what puzzles me. How do they read this stuff? The one who wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and the one who wishes to be first must be the slave of all. This is not a joke. This is not a joke or just some kind of airy-fairy proposition that we sort of entertain and then walk away from. And I don't know whether this was intended by the people who picked these readings, but this passage from Isaiah that Judy read, that suffering servant, the famous servant song, the suffering servant. Well, there seems to me a direct connection between that, this servant of God who was punished, persecuted. To carry out life as Jesus described it, as Jesus himself lived it, according to this notion of the servant of all, that's going to bring the cross. That's going to bring the cross. Full stop. For everybody. Not just for the bishops who with their big gold jewel-encrusted pectoral crosses, but for all of us. It always struck me when Archbishop Romero, the Archbishop of El Salvador, the head bishop of El Salvador, was murdered while he was saying Mass. Everybody was shocked and scandalized. We should have said, that guy is doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. That guy is doing exactly what he's called to be doing. As the bishop who made the military mad, who made the other bishops of El Salvador angry. They sent him off to Rome to have his wrist slapped, or worse, by John Paul II. The next time you see pictures of Vatican ceremonies, just ask yourself whether amidst all that grandeur you see any vestige of this role of servant. There's all kinds of pictures now being resurrected of the council, all these guys with the pointed hats stomping into St. Peter's and sitting there in all their regalia. Is this what Jesus had in mind? Is this what conforms to this scandalous notion? Anyone who wants to be great must be your servant. So insisting that this is real. This is not some kind of cosmetic adjustment of the way things are. This is the way things are supposed to be. And of course, the first thing that a servant is to do is not to give orders, but to listen. That's the first of a servant. A servant doesn't come in and say, well, what we need in around this place is, you go here, we're going to arrange it this way. No. That's not service, folks. That's bosshood, which we somehow manage to disguise as service. It's a scandal. It is a scandal. Again, I've been reading a lot about the Second Vatican Council, and finally, the Cardinal Archbishop of Vienna, a guy named Frings, said openly in a public address in the council that the behavior of the Curia, this inner circle, this papal inner circle, was a scandal to the world. They're the bosses. They're the ones who wanted to stomp out everything that was going on and continue to do today, to this day, the movement of the council. And I was happy to read that he got a standing ovation from the 2,600 bishops who were there. Then, unfortunately, they all went home and forgot what had happened. But if we don't maintain this vision of the way things are supposed to be, of what Jesus is calling the church to, then who are we and where are we?